right? I do believe, I absolutely believe it is the will of God for there to be a spiritual impartation of faith at the conclusion of this message tonight. I just need somebody to say amen. Do you believe that's going to happen? Do you believe that's going to happen? You're not too tired for it, are you? If we could push past everything that might hinder in order to receive what God desires to give us, I truly believe that God wants to do something special in this house tonight. The story is found in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. It's here where we read that Paul was being led as a prisoner on a ship bound for Rome. While they were traveling, a storm arose, violent storm that literally broke their ship apart, sank it. Fortunately, the hand of God was upon them, and the different parts of the boat that didn't sink, that floated, they were able to grab a hold of those, the debris that was floating from the boat, and they were able to drift to an island that was nearby. While they were on this island, we read this account in Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. So he's the chief of the island. His name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So Publius, the chief of the island, says, hey, come, you can stay with me for a couple of days. So they came and stayed with him. Verse 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, which is a very serious physical condition. Now watch, it says, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Somebody say faith in action. Paul entered in, prayed, laid his hands on him and healed him. Now it's very possible I'm going to preach from this same text on Sunday, Lord willing, and look at it a little bit different angle. But as we're talking about this faith stuff, I think it's important that as I begin to read this story, this God just spoke to me so very clearly. It just jumped out of the page at me. And that was this. It's important that we see in this story that no one asked Paul to pray for this man. He put his faith in action with boldness. Somebody shout boldness. And because of that, this man received his miracle. Nobody sent for Paul. Nobody requested Paul to come. They didn't make some big deal so that Paul would feel comfortable to go into this man's room and pray for him. No, he simply put his faith into action and with boldness declared a healing in this man's life. Now, I feel strongly impressed of the Holy Ghost. And let's make sure we plug in. We're already plugged into the Spirit. Let's make sure we're plugged into the Word. I feel very strongly impressed of the Holy Ghost to tell us as a church that we have used the excuse of a lack of opportunity as it applies to the miraculous. We've used that excuse long enough. It is time for us as believers to stop waiting for an invitation and just start stepping out in boldness in order to put our faith into action. Well, if they ask me to pray for them, I'll pray for them. If they strike up a conversation with me and request me to pray over their disease, then I will. But if they don't talk to me first, then I won't do it. And that's how I'm going to know if it's God's will for me to pray for them, because they have to come talk to me first. Oh, you're just a chicken. And we're using these excuses of a lack of opportunity when the whole time God desires for us to step out in faith. What is God asking of us? He's asking of us what Paul did. Paul did not wait around to see if he was going to get an embossed invitation to go pray for this man. He walked into the man's room, laid his hands on him, put his faith in action, and the man rose up and was healed. He decided to put his faith into action and be bold in the Holy Ghost and allow the faith that was within him to start operating through him. Somebody said amen. Amen. Hear me. The four friends didn't wait around for an invitation before they decided to put their faith into action and rip the roof off the house where Jesus was. In order to lower their friend down so that their friend could get the miracle, they didn't go to the owner of the house and say, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to rip your roof off. Is that okay? If you'll let us rip your roof off, here's some money to pay for it. We've already got a contractor that's coming out tomorrow and he'll fix the roof. They didn't figure it all those things out first. They just ripped the roof off in faith, lowered their friend down, and because of that, God performed the miraculous. Somebody shout boldness. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to be bold in our faith. Watch this, Luke chapter 7 and verse 12. Now when he, talking about Jesus, came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man being carried out. It was a funeral procession. Get it in your mind now. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said to the dead man, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And guess what happened? And he that was dead sat up and he began to speak. Okay, we read the story and we, oh, that's a cool story. Jesus raised somebody from the dead. But put yourself in that place. It's a funeral procession. Everybody in that procession is crying. Everybody's weeping. They're carrying this guy, this dead guy. And yet Jesus knew he had the power and the authority to raise that which was dead back to life again. And he didn't wait around on a consensus from the entire family and friends that were surrounding the dead guy before he would act on what he knew he could do. He didn't stop everybody and say, hey, listen, I want you to talk to the family and talk to the friends, and I want you to take a vote, and if you all vote on it, and if you all come to a consensus on it, and you all want me to pray for it, I'd be happy. I'll just go sit over here, and you guys can all talk about it. He didn't say that. He stops the funeral procession, lays his hand on the man, speaks to the man in faith, and the man rose up. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but stopping a funeral procession in order to pray for a dead guy doesn't sound real comfortable to me. That's not in my comfort zone. But I hear the Holy Ghost telling us that we'll begin seeing miracles like we've never seen before when we begin to get willing to move beyond our comfort zones like never before. Hallelujah. He knew he had the power and the authority to raise this man from the dead. And so he was willing to step out in boldness. And so you have to ask yourself the question, do we not step out because we lack boldness, or do we not step out because we don't understand the power and authority that we have? It's got to be one of the two. We either have power and authority and know it, but are not bold enough to use it. Or we don't understand the power and authority that we have. and what God is talking to us about now. He is talking to us and he is confronting us with this stuff called faith that, yeah, are we just going to talk about it or are we going to do it? And if we're going to do it, we've got to get to the place where we're willing to move beyond what is comfortable in order to be bold in the Holy Ghost, knowing that I've got the power and I've got the authority to do what God is telling me to do. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. Amen. Move beyond our comfort zone. Now, I'm going to tell a few personal stories, and I'm just going to trust that you don't take me out of context or you don't, whatever. I was very hesitant to tell some of these. I've only got one or two, but I was very hesitant to tell them, but I felt the Holy Ghost telling me to tell them, so I'm going to tell you, all right? I mean, no, we got to get out of our comfort zones, and when we do, we're going to see the miraculous like never before. A few years ago, just maybe 2 years ago, I was saving my pennies. I had this big purchase I wanted to make, and I'd wanted it for quite some time. So I was saving, Sister Vivian. I really wanted this thing. Literally been saving for months. And one day my wife and I, we were going to a service, Brother Gonzalez's church, and Brother Lee Stone King was preaching. And I got up that morning, Sister Vera, I got up that morning, I was brushing my teeth. And God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to give all that money on the altar tonight. And I didn't want to do it. And all day long, I felt it. I'd push it out of my brain. It'd come back. I know it was God. I know when God talks to me about that sacrificial giving stuff. All day long, God was telling me, give it, give it, give it, give it, give it. You're supposed to give that. You're supposed to give. Sacrifice that, sacrifice that. And I didn't want to do it. I'd been saving for a long time. I really wanted this thing, and I didn't want to do it. So we got to the service. They don't have a parking lot at that church, and there was the place was packed out. So we literally had to park like 3 or 4 blocks away. It was cold. It was rainy. We had to park 3 or 4 blocks away. I even hate to say this, but I took my wallet out, left it in the car, because I knew if I had that wallet in there, I was going to have to give it. I didn't want to give it. So I left that wallet in the car. So I get to the house of God, and we have pre-service prayer. Man, the place is rocking like it was here. I mean, the place was going crazy, and I couldn't feel a thing. And I was trying to pray, and I had my hands raised, and I was going after as much as I could, praying God, and I couldn't feel God at all. Church started. Man, people are getting the Holy Ghost in worship service. I mean, people are falling out all over the place. I mean, the place is going crazy. The power of God's falling in that house. The man of God's up there talking about how there's angels in this place and he can see angels. I couldn't feel anything. Nothing. And I'm trying to get into it and I'm trying to feel something. And I'm just like, what's going on? And God says, you didn't do what I told you to do. But God, it's not comfortable to do what you told me to do. And I couldn't feel anything. And I kept fighting and fighting. And finally I thought, you know what? I'm done. God, I'm going to be willing to do that which is uncomfortable simply because you told me to do it. And so I remember it was so hot in there. I didn't have my coat on and I was all sweaty and I ran outside and it was drizzling, cold rain. And I'm all sweaty to begin with. I'm freezing. I'm running down those roads 4 blocks away. I get in the car. I pull that wallet out. I just reach in and grab all that cash out of there and put the wallet back in. I run all the way back to the house of God. I push my way through the crowd because I knew he told me to put it up on the altar. I push my way through the crowd. I laid that money on the altar. I took 2 steps back, just like that. Took 2 steps back and I lifted my hands. And when I did, it was like a faucet in heaven had been turned on over the top of me. It was one of the most marvelous moves of God in my life that I have ever felt. And I was standing there, and I could barely stand under the presence of the Lord. And I don't know how long I stood there and just wept and cried and worshiped God and felt the presence of God. And a little while later, somebody got my attention, and they said, Brother Gonzalez wants you to come up on the platform. And so I didn't really want to be honest with you, because I wanted to stand right under that faucet. But he's spiritual authority in my life, and so I was obedient to it. And so I walked up and I stood against that wall. I wanted to be as far away as I possibly could. I stood against that wall, and Brother Stone King, I don't know if any of you know Brother Stone King, mightily used of God, mighty man of God. He walks over to me and he begins to pray for me, and he laid his hands on me. And when he did, it was lights out for me. I fell back against that wall and I slumped down onto the floor, and I couldn't move. I was praying so hard. I was talking in tongues. I felt the presence of God so strong in my life. It was unbelievable, and yet it was believable. And I was praying there. I just kind of get the picture. I'm kind of slumped down against this deal, and I'm just got my hands raised, and I'm just weeping and crying and praising God. And Brother Stone King, come here, Luke, real quick. Come here. Just turn around. Go down. All the way. So that's what I was like right there. And Brother Stone King was like, you know, he was in front of me. I'll go beside so you can see what I'm doing. He's right here. And he starts going like this. Like this. Now, I think there was a moment when I kind of just opened my eyes for just a brief second. I saw him up there doing that. I think I saw him one time. But he was going like this. Go, you can be seated. And I was like, what in the world? You know what? I didn't think at the time. I wasn't thinking about anything at the time. Just, you know, I was just so enthralled with God. After church, he says, come here. So I went over. He said, when you went down, he said, I saw a mantle float down from the heavens, and it hovered over you. He said it was so real that I wanted to touch it. So I was trying to touch that mantle, but my hand would just go through it. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. But I know that it happened, because since that night, my ministry has never been the same again. I came home and I began to operate. Maybe you didn't know it, but I began to operate in a dimension of the Spirit like I never operated in before. Why? Why? Because there was a willingness, whether it be a willingness to give sacrificially, or whether it be a willingness to go across the room to pray for somebody even when it's uncomfortable, or be it a willingness to be obedient to the voice of God even when he's telling you to do something crazy, if we'll be willing to move in faith outside of our comfort zones, I promise you, God will begin to release an anointing, and he'll begin to release the miraculous in us and through us like we cannot even imagine. I want us to lift our hands in the presence of the Lord right now. Come on, lift your voice, please lift your voice. The enemy doesn't want to have happen what's about to happen in this room. I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't want to have happen what's about to happen in this room. Push past anything physically you have to push past. You're gonna receive something in this room if you're willing to push past. God is calling us as a people to move beyond our comfort zones, because he's got an anointing that he wants to give us. He wants to use us in the miraculous like never before. If you want it, throw your hands in the air and begin to give God praise in this room. Jesus. Come on, he wants to know who wants it. Come on, he wants to know who will be willing to step out. We're going to keep teaching a little bit, but in this moment, at this time, God wants to see who's willing, who wants it, who wants a fresh anointing, who wants a fresh mantle of the Holy Ghost to fall upon you and rest upon you and usher you into a dimension of ministry and a dimension of the miraculous like never before. Who wants it? I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to go when you say go. I'm willing to stop when you say stop. I'm willing to speak when you say speak. Whatever you tell me to speak, I'll do it. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Hasando lo lobo koya la basa. Hallelujah. 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 The beginning of the impartation is happening. Oh, Hasanda Rabaka Yalorobosia. Somebody said amen. Bless you. You may be seated. Hear me. I think too many apostolics are using the verse that speaks and says that all things should be done decently and in order. We're using that as a way to exempt ourselves from putting our faith into action. Well, I can't go do that because that wouldn't be decent and in order. It wouldn't be in order in this service to do that. Now, hear me. Yes, our church services are supposed to be done decent and in order. But who decides what's decent and in order? He decides. Decent according to who? Not me. Him. In order according to who? Was it in order for them to rip the... They're having church. Jesus is down there preaching. They're having church. Would you say it was decent and in order for them to start ripping a hole in the roof? That's not decent. That's not in order. Jesus never stopped them. He never stopped them. He waited till the man got down, spoke to him, and did a miracle in his life, confirming their actions. How many people would say, well, you shouldn't do that. That's not decent in order. And Jesus said, I think it's exactly in order. Who says? Who makes the rule when it comes to what's decent and in order? He does. And if something's not right, and if something's not decent and in order, he'll speak to spiritual authority, and spiritual authority will handle it. But what if God determined that it was decent and in order for you to step out of your pew during announcements in order to lay hands on somebody for their healing? What if the Holy Ghost speaks to you and says, get up now, go over there, lay your hands on them, and I'm going to heal them. But it's not decent and in order because it's announcements. Forget announcements. We can do announcements. You see what I'm saying? What if God determined that in order for someone... Or that it was in order for someone to jump out of their pews and run to this altar right during the preaching of the word. Sincerely, hungry, honestly, running to an altar right in the middle of the preaching of the word. You know what we would do? it would either cause this place to explode and we would flow with it, or we'd pray with the individual for a while. And if I still felt like God wanted me to preach, I'd say, God bless you. Go back and you may be seated. Or get a couple people, hey, take them downstairs and pray with them downstairs. It's not going to hinder one thing. And yet, and I'm just going to be honest with this now, all right? Even within the last month, there has been two or three things that God told me he wanted to do that did not happen because the person he was going to use to do it wasn't obedient. And the reason they weren't obedient was not because they were unsubmitted. They were afraid. They were afraid. Maybe it's not decent. Maybe it's not in order. And we missed some stuff. I'm talking about in this service, in this church, in the last month, we've missed two or three things because God spoke to some people and he said, I want you to do such and such. And because they did not do it, we missed something great in the kingdom of God. Not getting on to us, I'm just telling us. Do we want to learn about this? When God speaks to you and he says, do it. Test the spirits. Make sure. Okay, God, are you sure? I know it's God. Do it. Do it. But everybody's sitting right now. And everybody's quiet right now. It's a little tense in here tonight. You see, because it all comes down to our flesh. That's why it stands. It all comes down to flesh and being willing to crucify our flesh to do what he tells us to do. Somebody said amen. Somebody said amen. It's time for the church to stop basing everything we do on what we think is in order and start basing it upon what God says is in order. Oh, hallelujah. Paul acted in faith, moved into that room. Some would say that was not decent. Some might say that was not in order. He was not invited into that man's room, and yet he went anyway. And a miracle happened because of it. How many ever heard of Billy Cole? Raise your hand if you heard Billy Cole. Great Pentecostal preacher, passed away a little while ago. This man's seen just unbelievable things. Miracles and signs and wonders. I mean, there was a crusade that he was at when he preached, and there was literally hundreds of thousands of people that received the Holy Ghost. Not a thousand, hundreds of thousands of people that received the Holy Ghost in one service. You can watch, get on YouTube. You can watch so many people, the camera can't even, there's a mass of people. And he prays the prayer of faith. The Holy Ghost falls in that house, in that outdoor stadium sort of thing. Hundreds of thousands of people get the Holy Ghost. But he told the story that there was a lady in his church. It was a family in his church that the mom of the family was sick. And so they called him and they said, Pastor Cole, we want you to come and pray. My mom's not doing well. So he gets in his car. He said it was about a 30-minute drive. And so he's driving there. And on the way there, he begins to pray for the woman. And he felt strongly impressed of the Holy Ghost, Brother Hawks. He felt strongly impressed that the Lord told him that he was going to heal that lady. So he's driving. He's praying. He's like, God, I need you to work this out, whatever. And he feels impressed of the Holy Ghost that God spoke to him and said, I'm going to heal that lady. So he gets to the house. He walks in the front door, and as he's walking in the front door, the doctor, this was back when, you know, when they had house calls and stuff, the doctor is walking out of the house, and he says, you're too late, Reverend. She's already dead. Walks on by. He walks in. He says, all the family sitting in the living room, they're all weeping. They're all crying. She's already dead. He walks in the room where she's at. They've already shut her eyes. They've got the sheet pulled over her head. And yet, he knew that God had told him that he was going to heal that lady. And so, talk about uncomfortable. So he asked, he says, does anybody mind if I pray for her? Now, put yourself in that situation. How many of us would have had the boldness to ask the question? When we walked in the house and the doctor says, Rev, it's too late. Or whoever, it's too late. How many of us would have just been like, okay, now I go into consoling mode. Now I just go into ministry mode to the family. And yet he says, does anybody mind if, and everybody just, you know, just negative, they're weeping, they're crying, all this kind of stuff. And so he walks into the room. Now think about it. The sheet's pulled up, they've already closed their eyes. He walks into the room and he takes the sheet and he pulls it down to just over her head, you know, right where her shoulders are. And he begins to pray. And he said, I prayed the first time. He said, I prayed, and guess what? Nothing happened. How many of us would have given up? Well, I did it. I tried. I prayed. So he stops and he's just kind of being sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and he prays a second time. And nothing happens. And so he's standing against the wall. He said he was standing there and he begins to pray. And then he said there's boldness rose up within him. And he said, because he knew he was, in fact, what he said, I got mad. That's what he said. Like a holy indignation. Why? Because God told him he was going to heal her. And it hadn't happened yet. And so he had holy indignation, Sister Vivian. And so the lady's name was Sister Mary. I believe it was Sister Mary. And he was standing at the wall and he turns around and he points his finger and he says, Sister Mary, get up. Boom. She sits right up in bed. Eyes pop open. She says, Brother Cole, is your wife here? And then she asks if somebody can go get her some food because she was hungry. Hear me now. What am I talking about? I'm talking about seeing miracles that we've never seen before. It's going to take some people who are willing to get out of our comfort zones. Even when it's not comfortable to do so. Even when it was not comfortable to do so. Even when it didn't look right. Even though it, when it didn't look, when it wasn't easy. Doctors saying no hope. Family's crying and weeping. Got the sheet pulled over her head. Eyes are closed. First prayer didn't work. Second prayer didn't work. But there was something within him that said, I know that God spoke to me to do this. And so I'm going to do what God told me to do, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it's uncomfortable. And when we're willing to step out of our comfort zones to do what we know God told us to do, we're going to begin to see the miraculous like never before. I don't have everybody right now. I got a few, but I don't have everybody. There's still some doubt, and God's trying to help us right now. God's trying to help us right now. Well, preacher, I can never be used like that. I can never lay my hands on the sick. I could never cause somebody to come back from the dead. You've got the same Holy Ghost that Billy Cole has. You've got the same Holy Ghost that the apostles had. You've got the same Holy Ghost that anybody that ever did anything great for the kingdom of God has. You just got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone and do what God tells you to do. We've got to stop allowing ourselves to be confined and constricted. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Now watch this. Think with me. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. Peter's in prison. He's about to be put to death the next day. So just get this in context, okay? And when Herod, verse 6, 12 of Acts. Acts 12:6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, said, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. He said, "Get dressed, get your shoes on. Let's go." And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." So you get the picture? And he went out and followed him. And wist or knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now watch verse 10. When they were past the first and then the second ward. Now a ward was the guards. Okay. And so there was guards positioned between where the prison cells were and the front gate. So anybody trying to escape, the guards would see him. And so there was the first ward of guards and the second ward of guards. And when they were past the first and the second ward, and commentators say that more than likely what happened was that God caused a deep sleep to fall on those guards. And they just were sound asleep and they didn't know anything that was happening. And so they're just walking right by him. How you doing? Walking right by. Walking. Now, but now get this. And I felt so strongly the Lord talked to me about this. They came unto the iron gate. It lets us know it was an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, or the iron gate that stood between them and their freedom, stood between them and their miracle. Now watch what it says, comma. So they came unto the iron gate, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed throughout on the street. And the miracle happened. But now get this. Peter was in prison. He was about to be put to death. Angel of the Lord shows up. Get your coat on. Get your shoes on. They start walking. But the point I want you to see is this. When they passed the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth out of the city. I need you to see this. They were walking. Picture yourself as Peter. They were walking towards this big iron gate. And it was closed. They could see it. Big iron gate. They passed the first ward. They saw the gate. Passed the second ward. They saw the gate. They're walking towards a closed door. There was a period of time when they were walking, Brother Elijah, towards a gate that was completely shut. Not making any sense? What did they do? Did they say, "Let's stop here and wait to see if the door opens"? It's going to be really uncomfortable if we walk all the way up to that gate and it stays shut. In fact, so uncomfortable that I'm going to die tomorrow. So let's just kind of hang out right here and see if anything happens. I'll tell you what, if they would have stopped to wait until the door was open, the door would have never opened. They saw a closed door, and yet they kept. And it was in the walk of faith towards the closed door that caused the door to begin to open when they got to it. But how many of us wait until the door opens before we ever walk in faith? And then we wonder why we don't see more miracles. I'm talking about myself. Why aren't we seeing more miracles happening? Why aren't we seeing more of the supernatural happen? I'll tell you why. Because we want to stop and wait for everything to open up. We want everything to just be all nice and flowing and perfect. Why? Because that doesn't take much faith. It doesn't take much faith to walk through an open gate. Does it? But it takes a lot of faith to walk in faith towards a gate that's shut. They didn't have an inside man with a key. They had to walk in faith towards a door that was shut. And because of that, they witnessed the miraculous. It was no doubt an awkward moment. It might have been very uncomfortable. It was no doubt very unnerving. If this gate doesn't open, I'm in bad trouble. So what are you going to do? I'm just going to walk towards it in faith that when I get there, God's going to show up. He knew who it was that was standing beside him. He had an angel of the Lord standing beside him. And he kept walking in faith because he knew it's got to work. I've got the angel of the Lord beside me. Come on, saint of God. It is time for us to get a real, hear me. It is time for us to get a real revelation. Not just in our minds, not just intellectually, but it is time for us to get an absolutely real revelation of the fact that the Lord is right beside us. The Lord is right with us. The one who has all power in heaven and in earth is living inside of us. And when you really get that understanding, and when you really get that revelation, yes, it might be awkward, and yes, it might be uncomfortable, and yes, it might be a little unnerving, but when you have an understanding that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, and greater is he that is in here than anything I might be facing out here, when you get that revelation, you're going to be able to walk right towards closed doors, and they're going to open right in front of you, and you're going to witness the miraculous like never before. He understood it, Sister Christina. He understood who it was that was with him. And because he knew who it was that was within him, he knew that gate can't stop me. That gate can't hold me. This prison can't keep me bound. I know who I am. I know who I have beside me. And when we know who we are as a child of the King, and when we understand the power that is at work within us, we also can have a faith that says, that cancer can't stop this. That disease can't kill them. That problem can't get the best of them. By the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, rise up, be healed, be delivered. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long they've been sick. I don't care how big the need is. I don't care how big the problem is. You don't know who's on the inside of me like I know. And I know that my God is bigger than every problem. He's bigger than every sickness. He's bigger than every disease. He's bigger than any issue. Walk in faith. Walk in faith. Even when it looks closed. Walk in faith. Even when it's uncomfortable. Walk.
Hallelujah.
Put your hands together. Give God praise in this house. God bless you. You may be seated. Watch this now. Allow me to tell you another personal illustration. Again, not for to boast of myself at all, but I just happen to know me pretty good. Several years ago, I was on the youth committee for the District of Illinois. I was the youth guy for our section. And because of that, one of my responsibilities was to be at the youth convention. And I was up on the platform, and Mark Morgan was preaching. I don't even remember what he was preaching about. Worship or something, I don't remember. But there was nothing that he said at all about giving. He wasn't talking about giving. He wasn't talking about sacrificial giving. He wasn't talking about offering. He didn't say one thing about giving, one thing about money. And yet, the whole time he was preaching, the Lord kept speaking to me and telling me, when he gets done preaching, go to him and tell him the verse that says, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, you got to understand, Mark Morgan, and just any, I have so much respect for ministry that, you know, it's almost like I don't even want to talk to him. You know what I'm saying? Not like in a bad way, but just like, man, I just reverence them so much and lift them up so much. It's like, what would they even want to have a conversation with me about? I know that's not right, but that's just, okay, I just reverence them that way. Okay. And so I'm just like, God, what? He's not even talking about giving. He's not even talking about this stuff. And God was like, do it. So he gets done. And he has an altar service, and it's going good. It's a good altar service. And I'm thinking, look, it's going well. Kids are praying. Kids getting blessed of the Lord. This is great. This is wonderful. So I don't need to go say anything. And God would not release it from me. Do it. God, it's uncomfortable. This is Brother Morgan. He preaches all over the world. Who am I to go tell him anything? Specifically something that doesn't even fit. According to me. Kept fighting it. Finally, I was like, you know what? Okay, God, I'm going to do it. I felt it so strong. And so I walked up, and I'll never forget this. I walked up to him, and he kind of stepped back, and he was kind of looking at the altar service. And I walked up and said, Brother Morgan. He turned and looked at me, and he just looking at me. And I said, I feel like I'm supposed to tell you a verse. And he said, okay, what's the verse? And I said, you know, it's the verse that says, give and that's all I got out. Give and he goes, thank you. Turns around and walks away. I didn't want to do it in the first place. And now he's blowing me off. Here's what he does, though. He didn't just walk away from me. He walked back to the platform, picks up the microphone, and says, everybody stop. I mean, literally, I mean, there's over 1,000 people there. They're all jumping up, down, all this music's going. And he says, music stop, everybody stop. And I'm just like, I'm going to go back in the corner. I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do, you know? He said, everybody stop. He said, all service long, God told me that there was a major offering in this room and that I was supposed to take up an offering. That the gift, the sacrificial giving, spirit of giving was supposed to sweep across this place. He said, I fought it. He said, I'm here. I'm at a youth convention. These kids don't have any money anyway. He said, I didn't want to do it. He said, I told God, if you want to do it, he said, you have to confirm it to me. And all service long, God's talking to me about give, and it shall be given. Give. And I'm like, God. What in the world? And I promise you, he began to speak just a few moments. He began to speak about sacrificial giving. And the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And a spirit of giving swept across that room. I promise you. There was kids so many deep in the altar that they couldn't come up and lay the money on the deal. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you I was standing like here. Here's the altar. It was high. And there was literally, they were wadding up their money, throwing it because they couldn't get to the altar. They were throwing it. Watches were being thrown on the altar. I promise you, we were taking up the regular offering in like buckets, like KFC buckets. this is what I was doing. I'm not joking you. I went like this. This is how we had to get the money. I put the bucket like this and I went. I had to sweep it with my arm and get it just time after time after time. They counted it after church. There was over $20,000 that came in the sacrificial offering that night. What did God want to have happen in that room? That. Would we have been satisfied when all the kids were jumping and shouting and praying? We would have left thinking, man, we had a good service tonight. God moved in a mighty way tonight. Wow, this was a great night of youth convention. And God would have been sad because his will was not performed because a little 25-year-old preacher refused to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Because it was uncomfortable to do so. Ooh. And I just wonder what greater things he wants to do in our midst when we're together. And I just wonder what greater things he wants to do in our midst when we're alone. That we miss because he speaks to us, but it's uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. We know that the Holy Ghost within us could fix the problem. We know that the Holy Ghost within us could make a way, could heal the individual. And yet we wait and we wait and we wait. Many times waiting too long, and we miss the moment. We miss the opportunity. Why? Because many times we want everything to be as inconspicuous and as easy for us as possible before we operate in faith. We don't want a lot of people looking at us. We don't want all kinds of people around. Well, when they get by themselves, we just want to slip in under the radar, pray a little prayer, and then leave believing we had accomplished what God wanted us to accomplish. I did it. No. And because of that, we've missed out on being used by God in tremendous ways. And here's why. You ready? We are more concerned about our reputations than we are his reputation. The moment we move past being concerned about our reputation in order to further his reputation will be the moment that we begin to witness an apostolic revival like never before. Just need somebody to believe that right now. It's not about our reputation. It's about his. One final personal illustration. You can believe it. If you want. How many remember, it was a couple of years ago now, when we were here on a Sunday and the tornado came through Manhattan? And remember that? We were having an altar service and ushers were telling us that, you know, there's tornado sirens all around, and so we had to go downstairs in the basement. We got downstairs to the basement and I was just kind of leading and, you know, just saying, hey, let's continue to worship. And all of a sudden, God began to speak to me that he wanted to use me in intercessory prayer. Maybe nobody even remembers this. But I was willing. And I began to pray. And a prayer, praise, and worship, and it entered into the arena of intercessory prayer. And I was praying, and I remember I was pushing. I was literally like pushing like this. And it was so intense. Do you remember, Sister Vinny? You were trying to hold me. I remember you trying to hold me. And people were trying to hold me. And they were literally being pushed back because of the intensity, just physically. And I was praying with such intensity because the Holy Ghost told me to do this. Now, here's the thing. I remember thinking, I probably look weird right now. And I also remember thinking, we have guests right over here. I remember I was facing this way downstairs, and I remember thinking, there's like, we had several guests that day, and they were standing over there watching, and here's the pastor, and he's just like, argh. And I remember thinking, people that don't understand, maybe, and even people that do understand, to them, I probably look crazy. Now, you can believe this, and I think you do. But it's pretty crazy. But what I have not told anybody other than my wife and one man of God, what I haven't told anybody was that when God prompted me, asked me if I was willing to involve myself in intercessory prayer, as I began to pray and as I was pushing like this, I was moving back and forth like this, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you are literally altering the direction of the tornado. Now listen, I don't know how it was altered. I don't know what was spared because of it. All I know, hear me, all I know is that I heard the voice of God telling me, hear me, that if I would be willing to step out in faith and be obedient to what he was telling me to do and not care about what anybody else thought, not be concerned about my reputation or how I looked, if I would be willing to do that, hear me, I would step into a realm of faith where storm systems and tornadoes would have to submit to the Holy Ghost that was within me. Tornadoes had to submit, turn, move, because of the Holy Ghost that was at work in me. Believe it or not, but what I want us to realize tonight is this. The Holy Ghost that is within each and every one of you in this room is far greater than what you realize. You hear me? The Holy Ghost that is within you is far greater than what you think it is. And the moment you begin to step out in obedience to do what God tells you to do, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it might mess with your reputation, even if somebody might look at you in some way, no matter what it happens, no matter what it looks like, when it looks like there's no other way, when it looks like the gate is shut, when it's uncomfortable and uneasy, and God still says, do it. If you will, and you will be more concerned about his reputation than your reputation. That's when the Lord, and I'm done, that's when the Lord that is in you is going to show up. And gates that you thought were shut are going to begin to open. And issues that you thought were too big are going to begin to get resolved. And sicknesses and diseases that individuals have had for years are going to disappear. If you want this, I want us to stand to our feet.